From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, December 4th. I'm Abby Larico. Missouri restaurant owner Thomas Orr recently decided to create a special menu at his steakhouse for people who can't eat meat or dairy because of an increasingly prevalent tick-borne syndrome.
They may not be able to put ranch all over their salad, but ultimately, like, them just being able to come out and get something that, you know, they don't have to worry about has been, it's been huge for the community.
A look at how some restaurants are adapting their menus to meet the needs of this growing community, coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Missouri State Auditor's Office has subpoenaed the Francis Howell Board of Education for more information about a superintendent who never actually did the job. Scott Fitzpatrick's office sent the notice Monday requesting details about former Superintendent Mike Dominguez. The state auditor's office is digging into why the school board paid Dominguez nearly $230,000 after his sudden resignation in July, weeks before the school year started. After some back and forth between the two, the St. Charles County School District said in a statement that it will turn over all requested documents by the end of the week. The school board announced Mark Delaney as its permanent superintendent Tuesday. A Missouri ballot measure that would ban abortion in the state is now being considered by three Kansas City appeals judges. Noah Taborda reports they'll soon decide whether the wording of the question properly describes its intent.
In addition to banning abortions, the amendment would restrict gender-affirming care for minors. Abortion advocates say this combination of two different subjects is at the crux of their argument against it. They also argue the measure's summary statement does not make clear that an existing right is being eliminated. Attorneys from Secretary of State Denny Hoskins' office told the court that the legal standard for language on those ballot measures is sufficiency, not perfection. Hoskins has already rewritten the ballot initiative once after a Cole County judge ordered a revision. Voters will see the measure on ballots next year. I'm Noah Taborda.
Lawyers for a former sheriff's deputy in Illinois convicted of murdering an unarmed black woman in her home want a new trial. Sean Grayson, who is white, was convicted of second-degree murder for fatally shooting Sonya Massey in Springfield last year after she had called 911. Grayson's lawyers say the presiding judge was incorrect for allowing the jury to hear disparaging remarks the deputy made after the shooting. In body cam footage, Grayson can be heard calling Massey a profane word and said she was, quote, effing crazy. He can also be heard discouraging his partner from administering aid to Massey. Grayson's attorneys argue playing these moments in court, quote, improperly inflamed the passions of the jury. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will spend tens of millions of dollars to clean up Coldwater Creek. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley announced that the Army Corps will commit roughly $40.5 million toward cleanup efforts at the site. Waste from the Manhattan Project era contaminated the North St. Louis County tributary throughout the 20th century. Numerous studies found people who lived near or played in Coldwater Creek after its contamination contracted diseases associated with radioactive waste exposure. Hawley has also pushed for a quicker cleanup of Westlake Landfill, which contains radioactive waste. A plan is progressing to merge management of the Dome at America Center with the region's tourism agency. St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri has more.
The St. Louis Regional Convention and Sports Complex Authority unanimously moved forward with a plan that would dissolve the board and merge it with Explore St. Louis. The plan seeks to put management of the Dome and the Convention Center, which are connected by an underground tunnel, under one umbrella. Joe Blanner is a member of the authority board. He says the plan follows research into how other major city sporting complexes operate.
The idea is to try to keep our facility in line with what our peers are doing and, you know, hopefully create improvements that will increase the fan experience but also allow us to generate more revenue.
Explore St. Louis's board is expected to vote on a similar resolution this week. The plan will need legislative approval. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
Driverless cabs could soon be navigating St. Louis streets as the company Waymo makes its way to the region. Waymo officials say the company will start with manual rides, which means with drivers, as early as this week, as it begins preparations for automated drives. The company did not announce a date for those driverless services. Waymo also did announce, though, an expansion into Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Baltimore. Last month, it expanded its automated services into Miami, Houston, Dallas, Orlando, and San Antonio. 74 pets found new homes during the St. Louis County Animal Shelter's free adoption event this week. 64 of those were adopted yesterday. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports the event was an effort to boost adoptions at the overcrowded facility.
On the first day of the free adoption event, the shelter found homes for 4 dogs and 6 cats, which Public Health Director Dr. Kanika Cunningham says is more than a typical day. Shakira Nylon says she has been wanting a dog for a while, so when she heard about the adoption event on TikTok, she came right away. She adopted a 6-month-old terrier mix. She says the waived adoption fee took some financial burden away.
I do have to worry about expenses. It's now all my expenses can go to getting him what he needs at home.
In late October, the St. Louis County Council voted to raise adoption fees at the shelter from $40 to $80. The shelter is only permitted to waive fees 4 days out of the year, and it will likely hold another 2-day event before the end of December. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
Grammy Award-winning saxophonist Kenny G shared advice with students at Christian Brothers College High School in St. Louis County ahead of a Chesterfield show last night. SDLPR's Lucretia Wembley sat in on the sax education.
Band students welcomed Kenny G with a Christmas classic, Sleigh Ride. The renowned musician has been playing saxophone since the 1960s. Students wanted to know how he got so good.
Anybody can get really good at something, really smart at something, really strong at something, if you put the time in. Like, I wasn't that talented when I was 16, but man, I worked my ass off. I work harder than anybody.
Sophomore Dwayne Scholes plays tenor saxophone.
He's really nice. Hearing that out of his mouth, they're like, practice does make you better. It really does change things.
Kenny G spent nearly an hour with the students. He's only in St. Louis for a day before he's off to Illinois for another show. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listener support is St. Louis Public Radio's largest source of revenue and makes podcasts like The Gateway possible. Show your support for regional news by making a gift at stlpr.org, and thanks.
People with alpha-gal syndrome are suddenly unable to eat meat or dairy. It's becoming more and more common in Missouri. In fact, so many people are living with the tick-borne condition, some restaurants are adapting their menus to accommodate, as Rebecca Smith reports.
Thomas Orr walks toward the back of the kitchen at Colton's Steakhouse, his restaurant in Springfield.
That's the oat milk there.
This small prep area and countertop double fryer might not look like much, but for those with alpha-gal syndrome, a tick-borne allergy to mammalian products such as red meat and dairy, it's providing a taste of normalcy.
You know, restaurants are supposed to provide a service for their guests. You know, we're supposed to bend over backwards. We're supposed to make things work.
Orr says he first heard about alpha-gal when his now 16-year-old daughter was diagnosed 2 years ago. But he says customers quickly told him just how common the allergy is and how many families were looking for an alpha-gal-safe restaurant to eat at. So this past summer, he launched an alternative, alpha-gal-specific menu.
We've got, you know, you can get chicken tenders, you can get chicken fried chicken. We've got some appetizers that we can get, like fried pickles is a really popular one.
Orr says these fried foods are now made with an oat milk bath, alpha-gal-friendly breading, and fresh oil. Other foods, such as baked salmon, are wrapped numerous times in foil to both preserve moisture and to prevent contact with alpha-gal-containing foods.
It's not a downgraded product. It tastes very similar, if not the same.
Orr says the kitchen now gets numerous alpha-gal orders every day, more than 400 since launching in July. Craig Fontenot is the Chief of Staff and Mission Integration at Food Allergy Research and Education, or FAIR, a national nonprofit that studies and advocates for the allergy community. He says in the United States, there are 33 million people with severe food allergies who have to carry EpiPens, and about 1 in 4 Americans live in households affected by the top 9 allergens in the country, which does not currently include alpha-gal. These people, Fontenot says, are dedicated and loyal customers when they find restaurants or food companies that take their allergies seriously.
It's a real consumer opportunity that most businesses don't realize. But for the businesses that do see this consumer group, are being rewarded with a high degree of loyalty from this unfortunately large and growing consumer group.
Research from FAIR shows that this community spends an estimated $19 million each year on safe, allergen-free food experiences and products. Back in southern Missouri, other restaurants are making changes as well. Chris Galloway, or Popo as he's better known, owns a chain of about a dozen pizza shops throughout the region. His restaurants are all AlphaGal friendly, offering turkey pepperoni and dairy-free cheese, but this wasn't an addition to his business model. AlphaGal was baked in from the beginning. You see, Galloway was diagnosed with what's now known as AlphaGal 38 years ago.
In those days, allergies were very uncommon. So this goes back into the mid-80s, late 80s.
He says those with AlphaGal syndrome shouldn't apologize for noting their food needs, and he recommends that they advocate for themselves and find restaurants that take allergies seriously.
Because it's scary, because they're used to eating and not worrying about what they eat, and all of a sudden now they're going to eat something that might put them 6 feet under.
The Missouri Restaurant Association says while there's currently no count of how many restaurants accommodate for AlphaGal, it's, quote, common practice for their member organizations to adapt to the new and emerging needs of their customers, such as intolerances to gluten and dairy. I'm Rebecca Smith.
That story comes to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but today, a little more Kenny G for you. From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, I'm Abby Larico. Thanks for listening to The Gateway.